All right, now I'm your host, John Rush, Rush to Reason, KLZ 560, myself, Andy Pate. Looks like John Zmirak, who normally is able to join us, has got some other things going on, which, knowing what's going on across the country, that's not a complete shock, so that's fine. We've got plenty to talk about.
Why would he not set all of that aside, his entire life,
for us
to be with you and me?
I don't know.
I mean,
Andy,
look at us. We are adorable.
I don't know.
How can you not want to be around
this?
It's
a great question.
I'm hurt.
Hey, real quick, back to our last comment
that we were making at the
end of the last hour, talking about young people and voting and conservatives and so
right.
on. And the one thing I forgot to mention that I think is a fault that a lot of us as conservatives have at time in general, and I'm just being completely honest with everyone, even looking at myself in the mirror, okay? This is all of us. We're not purposeful enough.
Okay, explain that.
When it comes to your kids, we all know that sometimes you raise kids, I'll be the first to admit it, sometimes you put them on autopilot, or you put yourself on autopilot. You know, you run here, you run there, you pick up this, you pick up that, you clean, you know, you change this diaper and that diaper, and then as they get a little older, you know, you do this, you do that, you go to this sporting event, that sporting event. You just kind of roll through things. You kind of roll through life in a way, if you would.
Right.
And I will be the first to tell you that you can't raise kids that way or they'll turn out to be liberals. Because the other side...
Here we go.
...is being extremely purposeful when it comes to your young person in your life.
Absolutely.
I mean, I read to you yesterday the 13 principles of Black Lives Matters, and if you don't think for one second the other side is out to regain, retrain, program, whatever you want to call it. In other words, if they're not out there after your own child, think again, folks. They are.
Yes. Folks, we're not asking you to be paranoid. We're asking you to be wise.
Purposeful. Be
the
wise about it.
The moment your child walks out that front door to go to school or anywhere else, look online,
church
anywhere.
Even.
Yes, they are a target. And let me tell you something, John. You know, I was raised by the other side.
Mm-hmm.
So I can tell you this as coming from the other side. When we look at your kid, and we understand that you're teaching them the what, right? You have them read their Constitution, and you have them believe in low taxes, and you have them believe in limited government, yada, yada, you know, gun rights and so forth, right? If you teach them the what, but you don't teach them the why, we are going to cut them to ribbons. It's like you're sending them off to battle with no armor. Because we're going to come at them.
Because you are.
Yes, because we train our people to bring the why. We're going to give you the why you should, believe in global warming. The why you should, you know, join the UN and all this kind of stuff. The why you should believe in this. The why you should believe in that. We're going to do the why on why you should raise taxes on the wealthy. Why you should raise the minimum wage. Not just that you should because it's right. We're going to say why. And let me tell you something, your kid isn't ready.
No.
They are not ready.
No. Yeah, the other thing I will add to all of this, and I know that this wasn't in our notes, but we were on a roll last hour, so
yeah,
we'll continue on. The other thing that you're against, and stay with me here, bear with me as I walk through this. Not only is the left getting your kids when it comes to what happens at school, or what may happen on certain ball teams, with certain coaches and trainers or even other kids that are there, or what may even happen at church, which, by the way, is another place that even though you think it's safe and they're at church, then nothing like this will happen. Well, let me tell you what, there's a lot of liberals in churches as well, and they will try to infiltrate and, you know, reprogram your kid as much as the liberal at school will.
Absolutely.
But last but not least, and folks, I mean this, 95% plus of what they're getting from social media, Hollywood, television shows, and the like.
98.
It might even be as high as 99, Andy.
Yep.
Literally every single thing that they are watching that is coming through those senses is coming from the left's point of view. And let me give you a few examples. Even though there are some really great movies that are out there, and Andy and I and Richard go through those on a weekly basis, and we have a lot of fun doing them, and we
sure.
laugh at a lot of movies that probably even are very liberal slanted, but we still watch them and laugh and so on. But when's the last time in any movie you've seen was a business guy the good guy?
Almost never.
Almost never.
Never.
Almost never, right?
It's a Wonderful Life. You know, I mean, you go back a ways. Every now and then they put one in. But even if they put a good business character in a movie, they have to make sure there's a more evil one across the street or over them.
So that's one example. Next example is typically Christians in most movies are, you know, unless it's a Christian-themed movie, they're typically, you know, regarded as kind of wacko or weird, or they're the weirdo in the movie or whatever the case
may
be.
Or they're naive, they're backward, they're inhibited.
Exactly.
And you can bring them out of that.
That's right.
Okay.
One other one that I will throw at you is, you know, just think of movies like Robin Hood, which I know a lot of you think is harmless. I hate Robin Hood. Why do I hate Robin Hood? Because it's all about theft. Robin Hood steals from the rich to give to the poor. While that may sound great, that's a liberal mantra.
Well, he stole from the government, but
well,
yeah.
But you get where I'm going with this.
Right.
We tell kids it's okay to steal from those who have, as long as we're giving it to those that have not.
Yes.
By the way, where is that in the 66 books of the Bible, Andy?
Never. Nowhere.
Well, then why do certain pastors even preach some of this garbage?
The entire story of Robin Hood, although, if we're honest about it, it means take from the government and give back to the people who were ripped off by the government. But the presentation of Robin Hood to the masses is all to support the idea of taxing the wealthy heavily so their money can be redistributed to others.
Right. And my point with that is, yes, that is the original premise or the original story of Robin Hood. But even the left has twisted that around where the average kid watching Robin Hood would have no explanation of what Robin Hood is to what you just said a moment ago.
Right.
They couldn't give that explanation. They would immediately say, oh, it's to take from the rich and give to the poor.
Yeah.
That's my point. And all of Hollywood, by the way, even though they're rich, is telling your kid every single movie, every single thing, every single cartoon. I mean, the majority of what they're watching, if you look closely enough, you will see overtones of what I just said. In some cases, it's just flat out blatant right there in front of you.
Right. And if you go too far the other way and you wall that off from your kids, it becomes forbidden fruit. And then their friends at school and everybody else can give them the fruit that their parents are denying them.
I'm not saying
then they'll believe anything.
Here's what I'm telling you. Goes back to the purposeful part. I'm not saying don't let your kids watch those movies. What I'm saying is watch it with your kid, and then if you have to hit the pause button periodically to have a little, you know, teachable moment about what's actually going on in the movie at that point in time, then do so.
Yeah.
That's how you get your point across.
Yeah.
Forbidding it isn't going to help you, by the way. And by the way, I've known lots of Christians over the years that were that parent where, you know, you can't do this, you can't do this, you can't do that. I mean, on and on and on we go. There's this stringent set of, you know, legalistic rules of do's and don'ts. And the minute the kid gets out of the house, he's a crazy man. That doesn't work either, by the way.
No, it doesn't. It doesn't work at all. Then they're finally set free by all those people who really care about
them. Means they just automatically flip to the left.
Yeah.
If you, by the way, as a conservative parent, if you want your kid to immediately go to the left, just do what I said a moment ago about all the do's and don'ts, and you'll have a lefty when you're done.
Yeah, you be a Pharisee, and they will flee to the tax collector.
All right. I know that's a topic, by the way, most of you don't want to hear, because anytime I've ever done anything on parenting, you get very little comments in return, because I think it hits a lot of people dead on, because I'll be the first to admit, raising kids is a lot of work. It's not easy.
No, it isn't.
And I'm fully understanding of that.
Yeah, and I think a lot of times when people hear this stuff, they're just like, you have no idea what it's like with my kid. He doesn't want to listen to some point about a movie. He just wants to watch the movie. And all of his liberal friends say, hey, man, you can just enjoy the movie, and here I want to make it into a sermon.
Yeah, and by the way, I'm never saying to make things a sermon, which
I know
for me was one of those things I had to do my best to avoid not sounding like, because it's just my natural personality to, you know, just, you know, get after it. So you had to find those teachable moments and do it in a way where you knew your child was listening and responding and tuning into what you actually were saying. And by the way, everything I'm saying, I'm not saying any of this is easy. It's not. It's work. Raising kids is work.
Well, what about if you look at your kid and you say, Bobby, you know, okay, kid's right. Bobby. You say, Bobby, I don't want to keep you from that stuff. I want you to enjoy all the same stuff your friends are enjoying with limits. You know, don't do crack.
Right.
Because
I get it.
Stuff where you can't turn back.
Right.
But outside of stuff that's going to addict you or wreck you, okay, I want you to experience everything they are, but with one addition. I want you to be smarter than them. Okay. They go through all this and just let it steer them. I don't want you to let anything steer you.
I want you to steer them.
Yeah.
Let's do this the opposite.
Yeah. Why don't you be the smartest one in the room?
That's right.
At the end of the day, watch all the same movies, do whatever you want, but be the smartest one in the room.
Great way to say it.
We can get there.
Great way to say it. Flesh and Beck is up next, folks. And I was thinking about this today when it comes to, you know, just legal representation and things along those lines. There are times, folks, where you may feel totally ripped off by something. An accident, slip and fall, somebody's not responding correctly. You know, you're just not getting where you need to go, and you really feel ripped off. That's where Kevin comes in and can help. That's what he does. He's trial tested, trial ready. He's not afraid to go to court. This is right in his wheelhouse. So make sure you call him today, 303-806-8886, and it's fleshlawfirm.com, FLESCH.
Take it from KLZ's personal injury attorney. Distracted driving isn't worth the risk. Kevin Flesh of Flesh and Beck Law has nearly 25 years of experience helping juries understand the true impact of an injury. He knows how to paint the picture in a juror's mind, equipping them to empathize with his client. Take the woman who recently spent 10 months in the hospital, unable to see her family the entire time. The value of her case goes way beyond hospital bills because she will never get back that precious time with her grandchildren. You know the statistics. Driving 60 miles an hour, you travel 88 feet per second. It takes you a second and a half to react, which means you've gone about 40 yards, almost half a football field, before you could even start to respond. Then you factor in how quickly your vehicle can stop. Kevin Flesh does his job well, but no amount of money can recover 100% of what you lose. So put your phone away and drive.
Folks, we just went through some really cold spells here in, or cold spell, singular, here in Colorado. And guess what? You know, winter's not over yet. And before you know it, spring will be here, but that still means your vehicle needs to be in top working order. And if you had any problems during this last bout of weather, Geno's can help you. That's what they're there for. It's Geno'sAutoservice.com. Geno's with a J. They're over in Littleton, 303-794-6700. Again, Geno's Auto Service, 303-794-6700.
Start the new year right by taking advantage of Geno's Napa Legend and AAA Premium Battery Sale. Did you know car batteries typically last just 3 to 5 years? There is no reason to get stuck with a bad battery when you can stop in at Geno's for a free battery check. And while you're there, you can take advantage of Geno's free multi-point inspection. We'll evaluate your vehicle, looking at your fluid levels, belts, hoses, and filters. Geno's is also having a sale on genuine Napa starters and alternators. We are big believers in catching problems before they start, which is why we do our best to make your life easier by offering loaner vehicles so you can drop your car off and pick up when ready. Don't miss a beat this year. Geno's is continuing to service Larry's Automotive customers through Napa Auto Care, warranting any work you may have had done before Larry's closed. Give us a call or go online to schedule an appointment. We're AAA approved and located at Bulls and Platte Canyon. Stop in or visit us online at Geno'sAutoservice.com. That's Geno's with a J.
Putting reason into your afternoon drive. This is John Rush.
All right, Rush to Reason, Denver's Afternoon Rush, KLZ 560. Myself, Andy, and Dan from Blackhawk joining us now. Dan, welcome.
Hey, how you doing?
Good, sir.
Good. Hey, homeschool.
Yeah. Great answer.
We homeschooled our kids, and they're very, very good kids. I think that's because of the amount of time that my wife spent with the kids and instilling in her, in our kids, our values. You send them off to a public school, you're not instilling your values in those kids. The public schools are.
That's right. Dan, unfortunately, what you're saying, though, and this is the complaint that I have with a lot of conservatives and Republicans alike, and I use that term conservative, not synonymous with Republicans, because some Republicans are not very conservative, so I use conservative on purpose there. The problem that I see with a lot of conservatives when it comes to the kid-raising end of it, Dan, is one word, and one word only, sacrifice. Doing what you just said, taking the extra cash, you know, and giving up something to send a kid to, you know, Catholic or private or parochial school, or even going the extra mile to send your kid to a charter school, which always takes more effort than just sending him to regular public school. Every one of those examples, including homeschool, Dan, that I just gave requires one thing: sacrifice that unfortunately a lot of conservatives are not willing to pay?
Well, we were fortunate enough to do it, but at the same time, it was a sacrifice for us financially.
Of course it is.
You know, we struggled. My wife doesn't know this because she didn't have to worry about it, but it was a struggle. But let me tell you, the results with how our kids are right now, you can't put a dollar amount on that.
No, you cannot. I'm glad you said that because I'm the same way as you. I sacrificed for a very long time to get all the kids through, you know, schooling and come out to be, you know, solid adults that can hold down jobs, that think conservatively, actually think for themselves, not think the way I want, but they can think for themselves and debate and figure things out and be productive citizens and good Christians at the same time. And to me, Dan, I can't put a price tag on that. I mean, in my world, and I guess this is how I always looked at it as a parent, I never bailed anybody out of jail. I never sent anybody to rehab for drugs or alcohol. I never had to run around and worry about where my kids were every single night. Why? Because everything I just talked about the last half hour or so is what we did to raise kids. We invested a lot of time, energy, and effort and sacrifice to make it all work. And to this day, they're all conservatives.
Yep. And I can tell you what it is. If you're familiar, not that I want to bring Bible into it, but I can. In the Old Testament, we're appalled at what the Israelites did with their god Moloch. You know, they heated up the arms of that god, and they placed their babies on it and sacrificed their babies to that god. And we were appalled by it, but at the same time, we're sacrificing our kids at the altar of convenience,
yeah,
and success. And I use that same scenario for abortion. We're sacrificing our kids at the altar of convenience.
Yeah, it's killing for convenience.
Yes. I mean, and this is a theme that gets me is if we're against abortion, we're being polarizing instead of saying, there's women that have struggled and they've gone through things, and sometimes instead of being so negative towards them, we need to reach out to them and help them with the healing process if they're hurting. And then we also need to help them understand that the people that are all for abortion are using women as a merchandise to get what they want. I mean, it's incredible. So I didn't mean to get off on abortion.
No, Dan, that's a great point.
Dan, let me play a little devil's advocate here. And by the way, I happen to be pro-homeschooling, so devil's advocate. What about those who would say, yeah, but Dan, you pull all these kids out of the schools who have the good, foundation like you're giving your kids, and what's left is this massive public school system that educates all the kids the other way with no opposition. They don't have any smart kids spotted amongst them to share their views, and as a result, that mass then votes away all your rights.
So we're still, it's not going to change anything. Because the young kids are voting liberal anyways.
Yeah, my point back to, people that would have told me that back in the day that Andy just said, Dan, my answer back was, well, you know what? You can send your kids if you'd like. I'm going to continue to do with my kids what I feel is best for me and my family. And I want to know where the future of my kid heads, so I'm going to keep doing what I do. And frankly, I don't think there's but one, child, typically, and it's few and far between what I'm getting at. It takes a very unique child, because that's what they are. Let's face it, they're children until they become full adults with fully developed brains. They're children. It takes a very unique child to go to a public school and have the kind of influence Andy was just asking for. It's rare if it even happens at all.
Right, because they're probably going to be overwhelmed.
That's right.
And the argument that a lot of people did for us is, what about their social skills? And my response to them was like, well, I don't want them to be a socialist, so.
Well, and the reality, Dan, like is we already know that when it comes to, especially now, when it comes to homeschooling and all the different programs and cells and things that are out there that people can get involved in, and the fact that kids can even play public school or Christian school, you know, parochial school sports if they so desire. The socialization of your kid is not an issue. That's a very, very, in my opinion, very lame excuse for not homeschooling your kid.
Well, let me ask you this, Dan, on social skills. Let me ask you this. Uh-huh. All those cities over the summer that were burning down, how many of those young people doing the burning were homeschooled?
I'd say a very, very small percentage, if at all. If
I would say zero. So if those are the social skills you learn by going to the public education system, I'm going to pass.
Right. And the thing is, if I know it's a sacrifice, we got involved with CHECK, which is the Christian Home Educators of Colorado. There are plenty of organizations out there that can support parents with their homeschooling.
Right.
And a lot of them are like, well, I'll just keep them home and they can do the public ed. No.
No.
You can actually do this, there is a ton of resources out there where you don't even have to use the public education.
But yeah, and Dan, by the way, for everybody listening, I don't know why you would want to, Dan. These homeschoolers and the organizations that have been out for this long, they have figured out how to do the homeschool end of things far better than any public school, you know, at-home curriculum would ever even think of being. In fact, the public school system right now and the unions could learn a lot from the homeschoolers and how they've done it over the years. They will never lower themselves to ask how that's being done because they feel they're far superior to any homeschooler ever. Unfortunately, it's the other way around. But you'll never see the left admit that.
So just as an example, and when we were homeschooling, we had teacher friends and relatives that were teachers, and they were all worried about, you know, well, they're missing out on the education, and they're not going to be as smart as the public educated kids, which is the opposite, because my youngest, and I didn't even know the scores on the SAT, but he scored a 34 out of 35.
That's I could already tell you when you said 30, I already knew he's doing very well.
So I didn't know, so I joked with him. I'm like, well, why didn't you get a 35? He goes, oh, there was a couple algebra questions on there that I hadn't studied.
There you go. Smart wise for all of those folks out there that would say that homeschool kids aren't as smart, I will tell you that it's actually quite the opposite. And the reason for that, I mean, common sense comes into play here, guys. Anytime a parent can spend that kind of time with a child and help them through these things that they're learning and do it at a pace that is far faster and has more attention than they'll ever get in any other kind of a especially public school setting, of course they're going to excel. And by the way, they can do all of that in about a third of the time the public school takes to teach your kid.
Yeah, we actually had to hold back because, you know, you have to report to the state how many hours of education you do when you're homeschooling. And we always just put down the minimum, even though we far exceeded that minimum, because everything is a learning opportunity when you're homeschooling.
Right.
Everything can apply to what they're learning at the time, and you can take real-life examples and apply it to what they're learning. And at the time when the kids become interested in a subject, that's when you teach the subject. It's not in a public education system. Everybody's put in the same silo for their grade, and you're going to learn this at this time.
Right.
And, you know, where our kids may not have been ready for it or they weren't interested in it, but once they got interested in it, do you think we pursued it? We did.
Yep.
And that's why they learn things so much better, and that's why I'm not trying to promote homeschooling, but I'm just saying that's what the benefits of homeschooling does for you.
Hey, really quick here, Dan. And by the way, your kids won't affect people now, but they will once they go into the workforce. So make sure they don't just know the what's, but they know how to defend all their beliefs when they go in the workforce.
They're already affecting people.
Well, yours do. I meant kids in general.
In general, No, Dan, I got to run. Good stuff. Dan, I got to run real quick. Good stuff. I appreciate you calling, and I'll let you have another word here at another time. We always do. I love you when you call. I appreciate it very much. Liz Merrill, join us in a moment. Affordable Interest Mortgage is next. 720-895-0500. Give Kurt a call today. Get your free mortgage analysis. Again, that is Affordable Interest Mortgage, 720-895-0500.
Can you believe how low rates are staying? Still in the twos. Back in the 40s and the 50s, rates were in the 5 to 6% range. How much longer are you going to wait? Take AIM, Affordable Interest Mortgage, 720-895-0500. Your home has never been worth more. Take AIM to get that lower rate or shorten your term. Lower your payment and pay thousands less in interest. It's your money. Call 720-895-0500 now. Affordable Interest Mortgage. Locally owned and family operated since 2001. Are you ready for the future financially? Many of our clients have the ability to access their equity for 30 years without raising their payments now. This prepares them for those speed bumps of life. Ask how you can become mortgage safe too. Take AIM, 720-895-0500, where our reputation of putting you first and listening to you is unmatched in Colorado. Call 720-895-0500 now so you can focus on what's important, family. Regulated by DORA, NMLS 298191, Equal Credit Lender.
All right, a good shop is up next. And Al, who's the owner there, Al Sturm, would love to help you with any type of an accident you have. And that can be stressful and time-consuming and just everything that goes into it and confusing at times. Let them take the confusion out of the wreck, get it fixed back to OE specifications or beyond. And they've got three locations to serve you. Keep in mind, you can have your vehicle dropped off there after hours as well. Find them at klzradio.com or 720-541-7697.
Al and his team at A Good Shop continue to improve because they want to help more people. Al Sturm started A Good Shop because he saw a need. Back when he worked as an insurance adjuster, Al got a call from a confused customer looking for some help after a collision. Once Al had walked him through his insurance claim, this customer wanted to know what he should do next. Al told him, "The first thing you do is find a good shop." Even back then, Al saw the way corporate conglomerates ran the auto body industry. They dictated the process, so their customers didn't have much of a choice. Al wanted to give his customers options. Today, Al and his team at A Good Shop in North Glen and Commerce City keep on finding new ways to control the quality of their work so they can provide an alternative to the big guys. After a collision, the first thing you do is find a good shop. Schedule an estimate now at klzradio.com/collision. Certified collision repair worth referring.
Hey, get that free roof inspection done now, especially if you've gone through these last few cold days and you've noticed some things that aren't quite right, maybe a leak here or there. Give Dave a call. He'll give you an inspection and talk to you about how to rejuvenate your roof at the same time. 303-710-6916. Again, 303-710-6916. That's RoofMax.
RoofMax in South Aurora keeps your roof going strong with roof rejuvenation. Modern asphalt shingles are manufactured with less oil than they used to be, so they dry out sooner, leaving them brittle and unable to expand and contract with the extreme temperature swings. Especially here on the Front Range, where your roof handles high elevation sun, UV exposure, and severe spring and summertime storms, along with more than twice the national average snowfall, your shingles wear out even faster. Roof rejuvenation with RoofMax could save you up to 85%. Just one application of their all-natural bio oil immediately adds 5 years to your roof, guaranteed. With up to three applications every 5 years, RoofMax could help your roof last 15 years longer. Save thousands of dollars by extending the life of your roof instead of replacing it. Call Dave Hart with RoofMax in South Aurora now at 303-710-6916.
Stay up to date with Rush to Reason after the show on Twitter at Rush to Reason and on Facebook.com/Rush to Reason.
All right, myself, Andy, and Liz Mayer joining us now. Liz, how are you today?
I'm good. How are you?
We're doing very well. Are you staying warm?
Yeah, actually, weirdly, today in Connecticut, it hit 50 degrees, which
awesome.
I don't think it's done for months.
Awesome.
I know. I went for a walk. It was wonderful.
Good for you.
I think we're going to get more snow, though, so it was very fleeting.
I'm sorry. Hey, Liz, let me talk a little
about... Well, you guys are getting tons, too, right?
No snow. It's dry. We
cold.
Thought we were going to get a little, but it's been pretty dry.
We didn't get much inch, at best.
Yeah. Hey, let me talk a little politics with you here. Impeachment came and went. Trump was acquitted. However, I was really surprised to see seven Republican senators vote against him. I know a few of them hate Trump, and I get that. But here's what I don't understand. The guy's out of office. Okay, so it's not even constitutional. And I'm sorry, but he didn't cause these people to commit violence. It was pre-planned. It was totally aside from him. He told them to march peacefully and patriotically. And yet 7 Republicans still voted for impeachment. So here's my question. Has Trump, with his personality alone, so alienated a sizable fraction of the Republican Party that this could cause a real fissure going forward?
My short answer to your question is yes, I think he has. And I think that that's been in the works for some time. I actually think the best evidence of that is probably not the 7 Republicans who voted to convict him. It's actually probably the speech that Mitch McConnell gave after voting to acquit him, and then looking at Mitch McConnell's op-ed about this, because Mitch McConnell was very clear that he believed that voting to convict, given that the president had then left office, was unconstitutional. I would just add to that that on my read, actually, it is constitutional. I think there's a lot of argument that can be made for it being, but I understand where McConnell and others were coming from. But, you know, you look at Mitch McConnell's commentary, and in many respects, I think what he said was far, far more damning than, you know, Pat Toomey or Richard Burr, you know, 2 retiring Republican senators voting to convict. And so I think that's actually the thing you want to point to if you're looking at how fractious the party is and how divisive Donald Trump ultimately proved to be.
But how can somebody like Mitch put something out like that when he did not come down in the same way, direct the same kind of fire at Democrats who did far worse in inciting violence? And I mean, they really did. We're talking about Democrats who incited violence and then their followers went out and burned down cities or hunted and shot Steve Scalise and did all kinds of other things. And yet he basically barely says a word. And he just lights into Trump over and over. It just seems to me that there's emotion involved in all this. There's a deep, visceral reaction.
That's true.
Go ahead.
I think there is some emotion here, and I think Mitch McConnell blames Trump for the loss of those 2 Georgia Senate seats. You know, look, I worked on the runoff campaigns down there for a super PAC. In my view, I do think that the president was principally responsible for losing those seats. That wasn't the entirety of it. If we'd had stronger candidates, things would have been different. You know, if Democrats had had less strong candidates, I mean, I look at things and I see personally a lot of weaknesses with John Ossoff and Raphael Warnock, but it's pretty hard to argue that the guy who ultimately was the senior pastor at Martin Luther King Jr.'s church in Atlanta was not going to massively drive up African-American vote beyond anything that we'd ever seen before, right? So there were some other factors, but really Donald Trump was the main factor. And I mean, I've looked at the data a million different ways, and I can't come to any other conclusion than that. So I do think that Mitch McConnell bears him a lot of ill will for that. We know that Mitch McConnell really does see controlling the Senate as the main thing that he's accomplished in life and probably the only thing he really, really seriously cares about in life. So, of course, if he thinks that somebody cost him that opportunity, he's going to bear a lot of ill will towards them. And I don't think he's going to blame Chuck Schumer for that, because let's all be serious about this. Chuck Schumer is an incredibly incompetent politician.
True.
And I'm frankly shocked that Democrats haven't replaced him as majority leader. But, you know, that's their mistake, not ours.
Could this be an example, then? Because you're right. He bears ill will because he sees Trump as causing these great losses. When we are emotionally invested at a time like that, maybe that's not the best time to put out public statements or write articles.
I think, unfortunately, the reality is that the timeline surrounding January 6th meant that there wasn't really going to be any other way of approaching this. And I think that's where McConnell's right in his op-ed. I disagree with him about the constitutional law here. And I know a lot of constitutional scholars, including many on the right, many in the Federalist Society, who really disagree with him about that. But, you know, the point that he makes, if you read the op-ed, is that on the speediest timeline the Democrats could have run with, I think you would have had something like, you know, 13 days start to finish on impeachment, when there's really no way that you could conceivably have done it in that amount of time. And certainly if you had, everything would have fallen afoul of arguments in favor of due process. So I don't know. You know, I think the reality of this is, you know, getting back to the point about why McConnell spoke out about this the way that he did versus other incidents of, you know, politician inspired or politician incited terrorism and violence. I think the reality is that Donald Trump dominates media to such a degree that it's basically impossible for anybody to do anything without referring back to Donald Trump in some form. And so this is sort of casualty as part of that. But I think, you know, in addition to that, you know, why was this focused on Trump and why wasn't there the same treatment of, you know, Bernie Sanders? You could also point to the guy who had the neighbor who attacked Rand Paul, my former boss. I think part of that is because Donald Trump was the president. At the end of the day, thank God Bernie Sanders wasn't president. Thank God everybody who inspired the Scalise shooter, you know, those people weren't president. And so, you know, I would imagine that in McConnell's mind, the fact that you're talking about somebody who was in that specific position of power, it's a little bit more important in most people's mind that you have somebody who's conducting themselves fully ethically, fully lawfully than just Maxine Waters, right? I think in general, McConnell also does adhere to the idea that it is more important for Republicans to conduct themselves better than Maxine Waters. And I would generally agree with that as a proposition. I don't think she's the standard we should be going for.
I would
and I
hope
think,
not.
Unfortunately,
of course
well,
not.
I think unfortunately that's the problem. Is I think Trump largely missed the standard that we needed, and that's how he wound up in trouble here.
Well, we have to keep in mind Maxine Waters was calling for people to literally mob Republicans who were out at dinner, not behind guarded closed doors at the Capitol, but while they're out at dinner, while they're at a baseball field, while they're at anywhere. She literally wanted people to mob together and press on them there, which is obviously much more dangerous, whereas Trump said march peacefully and patriotically.
I don't think it's more dangerous. I actually think the two are pretty equivalent and pretty objectionable. But I think that when you're talking about the president of the United States doing it, as opposed to somebody who has been in the House for quite some time, but nonetheless a House member, I do think that there's a significant difference there. And ultimately, that's not the totality.
Significant difference there where? Explain. I'm not following.
Yeah.
A difference between...
Everybody knows who Donald Trump is. Everybody knows who the president is.
Everybody knows who Maxine Waters is, too. I don't see the difference.
No, they don't. No, they don't.
Wrong.
If you ran an opinion. If you,
wrong.
If you, no,
well, I don't see where popularity, I don't see where lack of popularity is an out.
It's not about popularity. It's not about popularity. It's about awareness of who the person is and what standard you expect them to set.
I disagree.
The standards that we set.
I disagree. I think Maxine Waters and the position that she has and the constituents that she's got and the people that follow her, Liz, I think you're wrong on what you just said. She has just as much power wielding around and getting people to, you know, basically ginning up people to go after others. She's got just as much power to do that as any other politician out there, if not more.
That's manifestly not true. Donald Trump, when he won the nomination, he had 99.2% name ID nationwide. There's no chance that Maxine Waters has anything approaching more than
about Liz, it doesn't make any difference. When you've got Maxine telling fellow Democrats to run around and do what she did, she's not getting a pass. Sorry.
I'm not saying
there's no pass there.
I'm not saying she should get a pass. That's not my argument. That's the argument of people who are saying that there's no difference between these two things. There is a difference between these two things, but both of them are unacceptable.
I think directing people as mobs against people who are in the open and unprotected is obviously causing a much more dangerous circumstance than directing people to march. By the way, I disagreed with Trump even having the rally that day there.
Agree.
Okay, so I'm not even in favor of that, okay?
But he didn't say anything wrong.
Right, but to say march peacefully and patriotically, and then, well, let me finish. And then violence breaks out from a small group of people who pre-planned it days in advance. Obviously, they weren't incited by what he said. Clearly, he didn't have anything to do with the planning. All right. And you can't say, well, it's because he questioned the election results. Well, so did Hillary Clinton. So did Al Gore. OK. And their followers have committed many, 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 many times more violence in the name of saying Trump didn't belong in office over the last 4 years than was committed on the 6th. So, you know, I just try to look at both sides evenly and apply the same standard rather than letting one side off. Go ahead.
But that's not, I don't think that that's what's actually happening here. I don't think that's what the outcome that you're achieving here. I think, first of all, people who are followers of Hillary Clinton are definitely not followers of Bernie Sanders. Those people hate each other,
Oh, come now. You think the people who were burning down the cities believe that Donald Trump deserved to be in office?
I don't think they believed Hillary Clinton did.
Do you think that they believed that Donald Trump was rightly elected into office over Hillary Clinton? Yes or no?
Some of them that actually preferred Trump to Hillary Clinton. That's not all of them.
But the ones that were burning down cities.
That's a pretty common trend among the Sandersistas. It's one of the reasons that they're so objectionable is because they don't have any sort of loyalty that you would normally count on in a political situation.
The ones that were burning down cities thought Donald Trump should be in office.
Over Hillary Clinton, many of them did. I know that sounds hard to believe, but I tell you, coming from Seattle and knowing the people who organized those protests, because it was some of the same people that I went to high school with who organized all the WTO protests, those people hate Hillary Clinton. They do not like her more than Donald Trump. In some cases, they do prefer Donald Trump to her because they think that Donald Trump is more in line with them on things like trade. That's a very important issue for them. So, no, I'm sorry, but this is the whole crux of the issue when we go back to what happened last summer and people said, oh, Joe Biden needs to stand these people down. The person who needed to speak up was Bernie Sanders. The second person that needed to speak up was Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, because the people who were rioting and engaging in these acts of violence listen to people like Bernie Sanders and Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez.
They
do not listen to Joe Biden. They do not listen to Joe Biden or Hillary Clinton.
I agree with that.
Absolutely not.
I agree with that, although I didn't see any of them screaming about trade wars,
things that might draw them to a Donald Trump. No, they don't scream about trade wars, but they scream about the same things that a lot of Trump supporters do when you talk about unfair trade deals. They totally do.
Look, the bottom line, Liz, is that Trump supporters... I'm sure you'll agree, Trump supporters, by and large, have committed an unbelievably small amount of crimes, violent crimes, and
problems in general.
Yeah, problems in general. These are incredibly law-abiding people on average when you compare them to supporters of Joe Biden.
I've had
much less violent
both sides of that personally have been targeted by Democrats and by people who are Trump supporters. All I will say here is that the only person who I've ever had to call the FBI about was a Trump supporter who threatened to behead me and my family. And that's not a concrete data point, but that is some anecdotal evidence.
Okay, we'll leave it at that. Liz, as always, we appreciate it. Have a great week. Stay warm.
You too.
All right, we'll do it. We'll be right back. Don't go anywhere. Novus Auto Glass is next. And, you know, a lot of you looking out the windshield right now, and yeah, the sun is just a tad, well, it's not in the sky any longer, but still light out just a little bit. But, hey, lights are on, you're driving, and if you notice you're not seeing as well as you once did because of either the glare on the windshield, because it's all pitted up, whatever it is, go to Novus. They can take care of your windshield, fix it or replace it, either one, and they work with all insurance companies. Find them at Novus Auto Glass. Find them at RushToReason.com, I should say. It's Novus, N-O-V-U-S. Just click on the link and you'll find them. Again, go to the website, RushToReason.com.
Take control of the process with Novus Auto Glass. Insurance companies want you to use one of their recommended shops so they get a discount. John Rush endorses Novus Auto Glass because he trusts the quality of their work. In today's modern car, your windshield has become a structural component of your vehicle. Unlike in classic cars, where your windshield was just something to look through, today's windshields bear pressure as part of the frame. Your windshield has become a safety feature of your vehicle, so quality repairs matter. With every repair or replacement, Novus Auto Glass records detailed specs, including the temperature outside, the serial number of the vehicle, and the type of urethane they use, so you can have confidence that your windshield won't pop out at the wrong moment. Instead of letting your insurance company choose the cheapest option, take control of the quality with the inventors of windshield repair. Find Novus Auto Glass now at RushToReason.com.
All right, Extreme Auto Repair, where they'll take care of your vehicle, sell you tires, whatever you need. And don't forget, they do diesel repairs as well. And there's a 15% off discount for essential workers also. KLZRadio.com or 303-841-1071.
The team at Extreme Auto Repair doesn't normally let their customers drive loaner vehicles to California, but they do keep their promises. It was right before Thanksgiving, and they had promised a customer he'd have his minivan back in time for his upcoming road trip. But they ran into an unexpected issue and had to order a new part, which wasn't going to arrive in time. He needed to get going, and they still had his car taken apart back in their service bays. Sean, Mike, Dave, and the whole team at Extreme Auto Repair in Parker had a quick discussion to figure out how they could still keep their promise. Fortunately, they happened to have a minivan available as a loaner vehicle at the time, so they decided to tell him to take it on his trip. They didn't charge him for mileage, and they made sure he was fully covered so he didn't need to worry. The team at Extreme Auto Repair will always do what they say. Schedule a repair now at klzradio.com/extreme. Promises kept.
Choose an agent that represents you, not the insurance company. Call Paul Lenigro and his team at Group Insurance Analysts, an independent insurance broker, for a complimentary analysis of your current insurance plans. 303-423-0162.
It's time to leave your safe space. This is Rush to Reason on KLZ 560.
All right, Rush to Reason, Denver's Afternoon Rush, KLZ 560. A couple minutes left of the show, myself and Andy, and I just want to make sure I reiterate that I disagree with Liz completely on the Maxine Waters and other Democrats saying what they did and what Donald Trump said. Yes, Donald Trump was the president. I get that, but he didn't incite anyone to cause any kind of violence whatsoever. Those other individuals, on the other hand, did.
Yes.
Period.
They were telling people to basically hunt people who are in the open and exposed and unguarded. And he was telling people to march peacefully and patriotically. That's a quote, up steps inside people were guarded behind closed doors.
Yeah, and I don't see those, I'm not giving Maxine or anybody else on the left a pass. I disagree with Liz there. I think in this particular case, Liz is putting a lot of her own personal experience into her thought, which unfortunately, anytime any of us do that, it skews things, and she knows that, and she's a very smart lady. So Liz, if you're listening, you actually know that and should probably reconsider some of your positioning on some of this, not based on your own personal experience, but on facts.
Which may or may not be. I don't know, but I'll say this. I love Liz Mayer. I adore her. I think she's brilliant, and she and I agree about 98% of the time. So I enjoyed a good debate.
That's fun.
I enjoyed a good debate.
It's always fun.
But, John, the idea that Trump supporters on average are as dangerous as other people, everybody who died on January 6th, outside of a cop who died of complications, was a Trump supporter.
Right.
Trump supporters were not pulling Democrats out of cars and beating them. They were not burning them. They were not doing these things.
Speaking of cars, you can buy one today at Purefoy Chevrolet. Whatever you need in Fort Lupton, you can shop online at purefoychevrolet.com or call direct 303-659-8311.
If you haven't walked through the Chevrolet showroom at Purefoy, it's a really fun experience. There's a guest book at the entrance, and you look through there. It's actually become sort of a vacation destination for Chevrolet enthusiasts who've come from other countries just to walk around and look at these gorgeous cars and purchase a vehicle. You know, you think of Fort Lupton as a small town, and it does have that small town personable feel, but the facilities at Purefoy Chevrolet are really stunning.
You know, I've had the chance to spend time with Rolly Purefoy, and he's such a genuine man. He is willing to do anything at that dealership. And in fact, we have seen him doing anything, washing windows, cleaning a floor, redoing the whole Corvette showroom. That's just who he is. He's a guy that is not afraid to get his hands dirty, to do the work. He's more of a servant leader than he is the leader that says, you got to go do this. So that makes me want to buy a car at Purefoy Chevrolet, and that should make you want to buy a car there too.
Hi, I'm Rolly Purefoy. We're just up the road in Fort Lupton and on the web at purefoychevrolet.com. Find new roads.
Stay up to date with Rush to Reason after the show on Twitter at Rush to Reason and on Facebook.com/Rush to Reason.
All right, Rush to Reason, Denver's Afternoon Rush, KLZ 560. Thanks for joining us today, myself and Andy. It's been a great show. We really appreciate it. Tomorrow, Health and Wellness Wednesday. And we're going to talk about keeping your brain healthy, you know, just lots of things we do during that hour. So it'll be fun. We got a couple of guests that will be joining us then. And don't forget Richard Battle, who's very inspirational, will join us at the top of the 4 o'clock hour and give us some great things as well. So if you missed the first hour, please catch it next. It's on between 6 and 7 p.m. Otherwise, we'll be back tomorrow, same time, same place. Myself, Andy, and Charlie signing off. Rush to Reason, Denver's Afternoon Rush, KLZ 560.